thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Sun is shining downtown Chicago. Skies are blue. Ryan Burrow said earlier today,
Lord have mercy.
That thing in the sky is the sun. Lord have mercy. John Williams all the way till 3 o'clock. Afterwards, I'll be John Williams still, but I won't be on the radio here. So thanks for tuning in now all the way until 3. By the way, at this time tomorrow, we'll be almost ready for The Bright Side. Remember that little thing we used to do on the radio where you called in, said some good news in your world, why you are smiling, and we all smile together? We call it The Bright Side, and it's back. And we'll do it tomorrow at, let's advertise, 2:30 here on WGN.
The CBO score, because you know you were waiting to make your decision about health care until you saw the bill and it just came out.
And what we'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you have to
speak
right
with
now.
Shane, please.
But you don't have to.
Okay, after our conversation earlier, this version of it doesn't seem appropriate, Steve. You chastised me for not appreciating sufficiently the magnitude of this story.
Okay. Right.
Well, I can't strip the music out, so if you don't mind.
Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. Last time you did the same thing. You and Bernie.
Yes.
You last time did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
You'd like me to get the hell out of here. I'd also like to call the police. Can I get you guys' names?
Hey, you gotta
leave. He just body slammed me.
That's the audio heard round the world. Ben Jacobs, a Guardian political reporter, was asking Greg Gianforte, a tech millionaire, running for the seat vacated by Ryan Zinke, about the Republican health care plan. Fox News. Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, Zinke is the new Interior Secretary.
So he vacates his congressional seat, and that is the special election, which is taking place today in Montana. And after the candidate evidently didn't like the question or the questioner, he body slammed him to the ground. So is this going to be a game changer? Daryl Ehrlich is on a phone line. It was his paper, among a couple of others, which actually rescinded their endorsement of the candidate. Daryl, this is John, and you're on WGN in Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
How is it going there today? Are there any, I don't know, early returns or exit polling, anything that's saying if this story is going to change the outcome of the election?
We knew that about 50% of the voters had already voted mail, and in Montana, you cannot change your vote. We are one of the states that does not allow you to change your vote. So we knew it was going to be tight. So if it was already tight going into it, then with this kind of bombshell of a story, this could be a definite game changer. We do not know how. We have had reporters out at polls all day, and you know what we're hearing is actually a little shocking. We've heard people say, "Yeah, we've seen the news, but we're Republican, so we're still voting." So I think it's still he was the 24 hours ago he was the favorite slightly, and I'd like to know more about how that is changing. But from what when we're talking to voters, it doesn't seem to be affecting them much.
Well, you know what happens. Sometimes the Republicans will still vote for the Republican candidate. The Democrats will still vote for their aggrieved candidate. But maybe it turns out more people from the other side. Maybe the question is this getting more Democrats to the polls?
Yeah, we don't know that. It'd be interesting to see how many people are also just sitting the race out. You know, just saying I'm just not going to participate. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see overall turnout. And then you know, if the Libertarian candidate who doesn't get a lot of play, but has the Libertarians have played an interesting foil in Montana federal elections. So that could certainly. I think any support that a Libertarian draws away from a Republican is going to mean bad things for the Republican, Gianforte.
Gosh, this does sound like a conversation I've had before, doesn't it to you, Daryl? A candidate unpopular, particularly right towards the time that you get to vote, but people can't stand the other candidate, and maybe the third candidate pulls off some votes, and it's very close. Have you ever heard of a story like this before,
yeah.
Daryl?
I've heard of it a lot. In fact, our senior senator in Montana won in very much the same fashion. Then, obviously, the national election of President Trump. We certainly saw the disdain for both candidates, and you're seeing some of that. There is a deep frustration in Montana with both the Democrats and the Republicans, and we said as much in our original endorsement before we rescinded it. We said that we were deeply disappointed with both choices.
Why did you go ahead, Steve Bertrand?
I was going to say, so what happens if he wins and he is convicted in one way or another of assaulting a reporter?
Yeah, we're still trying to work through it. Of course, it's a misdemeanor, not a felony. It is punishable up into jail time, but the likelihood of that is in even a place like Bozeman, Montana, is unlikely. But we've questioned what's going to happen with the investigation committees on ethics when you get to the House, and just how much stroke will a guy who's kind of got this cloud have if he is elected. And the other thing is, I think most Montanans, we love the image of cowboy boots and cowboy hats and rugged and all the things that, but this is not who we are. This is not representative. And I think a lot of us are disappointed. I was here when I was born and raised here. We had the Freeman, we had the Unabomber, and Montana was stung by those perceptions. And so most Montanans don't like being in the spotlight for this reason.
I thought your editorial in the paper where you rescinded the Billings Gazette editorial board editorial where you rescinded your endorsement was just so well written. Were those your words, Daryl?
They were. I was speaking on behalf of the editorial board, but it was editorial deadline writing.
You wrote, "We are at a loss for words." That doesn't happen often. What happens even less, hopefully never again, is a Montana candidate assaulting a reporter. That's why the Billings Gazette editorial board is also doing something without precedent. We're rescinding our editorial endorsement of Greg Gianforte. To make this an issue of media intrusion or even a passionate defense of the role of a free press during an election would be to miss the point, you wrote in part. You said, if what was heard on the tape and described by eyewitnesses is accurate, the incident in Bozeman is nothing short of assault. We previously supported Gianforte because he said he was ready to listen, to compromise, to take the tough questions. Everything he said was obliterated by his surprising actions that were recorded and witnessed Wednesday. We simply cannot trust him because trust, not agreement, is essential in the role of representatives. We cannot stand by him. While we clearly made a poor choice in our original endorsement, an even bigger mistake would have been to stand by it. And that's an interesting point. I mean, we think, who do you agree with? Are you a Republican paper? Are you Republicans? Then you stand by the Republican. And you say that's not the essence of representative government. It's trust. You have to be able to trust the judgment of these people.
Yeah, absolutely. And we understand that, I think as reporters, there are nuances in that they're not easily – a lot of these issues that are at the federal level or even the state and sometimes local level are not just easily defined. There's nuances and there's complexities. And so we have to trust that our elected representatives at all levels are handling those and kind of teasing those out and thinking deeply about them. How can you trust a person who – you are listening to him being questioned, and then it goes from 0 to 100, and it's...
about that. Okay, cover me, Steve Bertrand. So can you just describe for us a little bit about what happened there, and was there any history between this candidate and either this reporter or this newspaper?
Well, we don't know a whole lot. This is a national... One of the interesting things is Montana doesn't usually get a lot of national play. We have 3 electoral votes, so in a presidential election, we're small. We may get a visit or two, but that's kind of just... That's just on a whistle stop usually. So Montana, because of this special election, because of the national climate, and this is kind of becoming a referendum on the Trump administration, which Montanans supported Trump by 20 points. So this was being seen on a national stage as much larger than Montana's one. We have one house or one seat in the U.S. House. So this was so it's attracted, of course, the national media, New York Times, Washington Post,
and a lot of money, $17 million,
which is not really precedented in Montana. Not that we, but per capita, we don't have that kind of spending. The interesting thing about that is the Guardian reporter, so I don't know Mr. Jacobs. I'm deeply sorry that that was his experience in Montana. That's not representative. But we know that the Guardian had asked Gianforte and had broken the story about Gianforte having what it called ties to Russia business. It, what really turned out that Gianforte had some mutual funds that had Russian stock in them. He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So he's got his financial disclosures are 114 pages long, and one of them said that he had stock in a Russian company. And I think Mr. Gianforte, and we reported as much as that, that didn't necessarily mean that he had ties. So I would suspect that the Gianforte camp did not like that characterization.
That was that in previous being, reporting. Yeah, go ahead.
That was previous reporting. So there was history. To your question, was there history? But we don't really have anything that would I mean, he was asking questions and he was deflecting. Mr. Gianforte was asking questions and deflecting them, and then what we you heard what you heard on the audio.
He was asking questions about the health care bill, which is
thoroughly
reasonable on the eve of the election.
Yeah, especially after the CBO had just come out with the score. I mean, I think that's right. What his question seemed absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
I'd be proud if it were my reporter asking that.
So, as a guy who sends reporters out in the field to cover politicians or crashes or accidents or anything else, are you bothered by the statement from the candidate that basically it was okay because it was the liberal media, and two, worried that that might spread to others and that your reporters might be a little more at risk out there in Montana?
I'm not sure that I'm I would like to hope that I'm not more worried about this, that this is an aberration and it's getting widespread attention as such. And I would hope that you know, I'm always worried when I send reporters out into, you know, to ask people who are into emotionally charged or even dangerous situations. That's something that weighs as a reporter myself and as an editor, that's something that concerns me. I don't know that this makes me necessarily more concerned, but I do. I was very, very shocked by the Gianfortes, and we brought it out in the editorial.
Yeah.
To say, well, we did this or this happened because it was a liberal reporter or liberal. How would they know what Mr. Jacobs?
Well, can I just read from the statement? So this is the campaign. Jacob, this is the campaign after the fact putting this statement out. Jacobs was asked to leave, the statement reads. After asking Jacobs to lower the recorder, Jacobs declined. Greg then attempted to grab the phone that was being pushed in his face. Jacobs grabbed Greg's wrist and spun away from Greg, pushing them both to the ground. It is unfortunate that this aggressive behavior from a liberal journalist created this scene at our campaign volunteer barbecue. That's the statement from the campaign.
And the other thing that's important to note about that statement, and it was corroborated by the TV crew, the Fox TV crew that was there, that statement does not square with what was recorded and what was witnessed.
I mean, it's amazing to me that because there were witnesses in the room, there were witnesses in the next room, and the statement seems to be completely made up and then also done in a way to sort of deem. That's what I was questioning about the reporters, because the way they wrote the statement, it implies to me that with a wink and a nod, they can get away with it with their population. That seems to be what they're saying. Hey, you guys, these are just the liberal media. We know what that means.
Well, it fits in well with the narrative of fake news, failing media, liberal conspiracy. And, you know, the president's advisors have even called us the enemy. And, you know, what I've said before, and we've said this editorial, and I feel this very strongly, that when you start using the language that's enemies of the people, you start using something that is coming close to giving cover to action, because if they're your enemy, they can do you can do harm. You're allowed to do harm to your enemy. And so I think I don't know that's what was going on in Mr. Gianforte's mind. I can't explain what I heard on the tape, quite frankly, but it scares me, the rhetoric, because I think words tip you off to a state of mind or how we treat each other. And so that's probably what's more disconcerting.
Last question for Daryl Ehrlich, editor of the Billings Gazette. They pulled their endorsement of Montana congressional candidate Greg Gianforte. What are you hearing from your readers or his voters?
We're hearing both from both sides. There are many. I would say the majority of comments have been positive, saying thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. There, of course, have been some who said you should have never done this in the first place. You know, we hold you. You know, you've lost credibility. Now you're wishy-washy. You should have never done this. And, of course, we have some people, if you get on our social media, if you see what people are commenting, they've been talking a lot about, well, you know, I finally someone standing up to the reporters. So it's been mixed. But I would say overall, people have been very supportive.
Daryl, the editorial you guys wrote was terrific. Keep fighting the good fight. And by that, I mean journalism. And thanks for joining us this afternoon.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.